Good morning. I'd like to welcome you back to another edition and a new week of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection. And I'd like to talk a little bit about what we're going to do this week. Because it is Thanksgiving week, I'm not going to be recording the whole week. I'm recording on Monday morning, and I'm recording on Tuesday morning. But then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's Thanksgiving holiday, and so we're not going to be in the office, and I'm not going to be doing these videos. But I wanted to take the passage of Scripture that we looked at on Sunday, and I wanted to do it in two parts so that we could think about it throughout the week. And so I hope that the things that are shared today and tomorrow are going to be very encouraging to you. The passage we looked at was Psalm 37, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8 together. And also, we were celebrating our 50th anniversary as a church, which is an exciting time for our church. It's something that it's a milestone, and we're thankful for how God has really strengthened our church and just taken us through good days and bad days, and ultimately allowed us to, for 50 years, be a lighthouse here in Anne Arundel County. And so very thankful for how kind God has been through all that time. And I think that'll kind of come out a little bit in what we'll talk about today and tomorrow. So Psalm 37, verse 1 says this: "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." Now, I want to kind of begin by an introduction to this passage. This morning, we're not actually going to dig into the contents a lot. I just want to lay out a couple of things. And the first thing I want to do is talk about what it was like in 1973, 50 years ago, when Anchor Baptist Church, which at the time was not Anchor Baptist, it was Community Baptist. Ultimately, the name was changed in the mid-70s. But when our church was first officially organized as a church, well, 1973 was a fascinating year of U.S. history. A lot went on, a lot of things that were very significant in American history. And the majority of the seniors in our church were in their mid or early 30s. A few of them were in their early to mid 40s. So if you're in your 80s, you were in your 30s at the time that this was going on. And at that time, Richard Nixon had just been reelected to a second term as president. The Watergate scandal was beginning to really snowball for him. And so throughout 1973 and then going into 1974, ultimately Richard Nixon would be forced to resign because of that scandal. And our current president, Joe Biden, was 31 years old at the time, and he was in his first term as a senator in Delaware. It's kind of hard to believe that that's the case, but that is a part of history. The country was very deeply divided. And if you talk about the nation and what was going on within the culture, there was a tremendous amount of cultural upheaval. And so anyone who was living through this time period, if you were a college student, if you were in your early 20s or your early 30s, you remember that the 1970s were a tumultuous time. And there were a lot of people lamenting how people were not going to church the way that they had in the 50s and the early 60s. And only about 40% of the U.S. population at the time was actually attending church on a regular basis. And that number was even smaller when you started talking about younger Americans who were between the ages of 18 and 29. Only about 30% of Americans were going to church regularly at that time. Now, at the same time, that same numbers today, 30% of Americans attend church regularly, and in that 18 to 29 age group, younger adult Americans, it's only about 17%. So it's actually worse than it was in those days at that time. But the country was in a lot of turmoil. In 1973, Roe v. Wade became the legalizing of abortion on the federal level, and for almost 50 years, that stood. And I was in D.C. on the day that the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade. And so that's a landmark decision at that time. And We are living in a post-Roe world, which is an amazing thing to consider throughout almost 50 years of history that was going on. And what is tragic to think about is that from the time that Roe legalized, federally legalized abortion to where we are today, over 65 million Americans have been aborted. And that would be an equivalent to the entire population of California and Texas. You put those two countries, Texas likes to think of themselves as a country. You put those two states together, and that is the population of how many Americans have been aborted since 1973. So it's a tragic part of American history. The geopolitical tensions were huge in that time period. OPEC had an embargo on the United States. And so at the time, gas was about 39 cents a gallon. It went up about 40%. In fact, got close to doubling within the next year or two. And there was a lot of tension in the Middle East. In fact, later in the year, in October in 1973, there were several Arab nations that came as a coalition led by Egypt and Syria, and they attacked Egypt on Yom Kippur, which is one of the highest, holiest days in the Jewish calendar, what we call the Day of Atonement. And it was a surprise attack, and it's known as the Yom Kippur War. So here we are 50 years later, and we're seeing the same kinds of tensions in the Middle East that we had at that time. A lot of people may not realize this, but Mao Zedong was still in power in China, and this was the end of the Cultural Revolution, and history does not really know how many tens of millions of Chinese people were murdered by Mao Zedong and the Communist Party there at that time. The Soviets were in full control of Eastern Europe, and it was a tumultuous time geopolitically. That also led to a lot of troubles in the United States economically. The interest rates were skyrocketing in the early 70s. In fact, right now we're talking a lot about interest rates, but in those days it's about 8% and 8.5% interest rate. It got all the way to 16% in 1981, and Americans were crippled financially. The cost of living was going up. Those who had invested in the S&P 500 stock exchange from 1973 to 1974, the stock exchange lost about 50% of its value. And the United States was going through economic upheaval, religious upheaval, political upheaval. In fact, to add to that, we know about the Vietnam War, where nearly 60,000 American soldiers were killed. In 1973, Richard Nixon officially withdrew American troops from Vietnam. And you know the story about when those troops came home and the way that they were treated by the American population. This was a tough time in American history. Even, to put it on a lighter side, even the weather was crazy in 1973. Do you know that in that year, it did not snow one time in New York City until January the 30th? It was, to that date, the latest it ever snowed in New York City, and that city only got 2 inches of snow the entire year. It was the least snowy year on record in New York City history. It snowed a blizzard down in South, and Charleston, South Carolina got 7 inches of snow in a freak snowstorm in January of 1973. So weird things were happening in the world at that time. And you say, well, Joel, why do you take the time to give us all those weird historical facts? Well, because that's the world that people were living in when our church was started. And it would have been very easy for the people living in that time to say, we just say, Lord, come, and we're going to just wait for the rapture and see what happens. But there are Christians who said, no, we want to start a church. We want to reach Anne Arundel County. We want to reach into the community where our church is today. And so our church was founded at that time. And with lots and lots of ups and downs, God has been faithful, and he has worked in our church, and we're thankful for that. And so I use it as kind of the introduction to remind you of two very simple truths before we look at Psalm 37, Lord willing, tomorrow. The first truth is that history repeats itself, and every single generation faces unique challenges in the time in which they live. I mean, when I talk about the things that were going on in 1973, they were tragic. They were tumultuous. They were difficult. They were painful. They were embarrassing. All those things could be put into. Those are different ways we could describe it. Well, our times are like that too. A lot of the things that were going on then, they're continuing to go on to this day, 50 years later. Different generations that are controlling the country. We're talking about, in some ways, the children and sometimes even grandchildren of that generation. These are the people that are running the nation today. Yet they're doing the exact same thing. Lots of the same things going on in the world today. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, we're reminded of this simple fact. He says, one generation passeth away and another generation cometh. Yet the earth abideth. The sun arises and the sun goes down and hasteth to his place where it arose. The wind goeth toward the north and towards the south. It whirleth about continually. All rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. The thing which hath been, it hath been that which shall be. And that which is done, that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. You say, what is Solomon saying? I'll put it this way. He's saying generations come and go. There are natural cycles that continue year after year after year in the world. No matter who's in charge from a human perspective, no matter what civilizations rise and fall, the economic hardships, the political instabilities, there are natural cycles that God created that just continue day after day, month after month, year after year. And he says there's nothing new under the sun. Tragically, generations rarely remember the past and rarely learn from the generations before them. And so history repeats itself. Every generation faces uniquely packaged challenges. But those challenges, at the surface, while they look different at the foundation, they're essentially the same. The second thing I'm going to mention is that every generation of believers should look at their period of history as an opportunity to embrace. And we should not run from the opportunities in front of us. In the same way that our forefathers stood up in their generation and they were active and they put their lives on the line, they made sacrifices, this generation that is living today, coming of age, where they're going to go into establishing families and starting businesses and running corporations and getting involved in government and all those things, this generation has an opportunity and needs to embrace it. And when we talk about this in relationship to the church, this generation of Christians is the church and needs to be a faithful church. And so we're reminded in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 of this issue of how we should live in a world that is, well, let's just say unpredictable and difficult. He says, cast thy bread upon the waters, you'll find it after many days. He's talking about investing there. Give a portion to seven and also to eight. Thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. If the tree falls towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. Thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. What is Solomon saying? He's saying take responsibility. Make calculated decisions that, yes, are risky, but you have thought it through reasonably and responsibly. Realize that what is done is done. The direction that a thing leans is the direction that a thing will fall. And once a tree has fallen, you can't move it. That's what he's saying. Do not allow yourself to be crippled by fear and anxiety because of the unknown. Trust God to work through the choices that you make and to be gracious when you fall short. This is sage wisdom from Solomon, to think about the fact that, you know what, history repeats itself. And we need to be a people that, rather than living anxiously, we trust God and we just make decisions the very best way that we can, and we trust Him with what we cannot control. And so I want to start out our Anchored in the Word study this week with those two thoughts. Thinking about the history of what was going on when our church was started, thinking about the world that we live in today, And think about these two principles as something that I hope will lead us to being an active and diligent people. Lord willing, tomorrow we'll look at part two as we dig into some of the details of Psalm number 37. Have a blessed day. Bye now.